Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the show once again on a Friday, our final broadcast of 2016 as we wrap up Pacific Northwest Month here on the program. Real quick before we get started, if you're looking for some pro wrestling, we got a few shows out there. Tonight, WCW, like usual, at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. PSW in Piedmont, Alabama. MPW in Kissimmee, Florida. AAW in Marionette Park, Illinois. All-Star Wrestling running a Girls Gone Wild show up in Cloverdale, B.C. DSW in Allen Park, Michigan. And the NWA in Franklin, Kentucky. Tomorrow night, Wrestle Club in Boise, Idaho. SCW up in our neck of the woods in Bremerton, Washington. FEW in Miami, Florida. The NWA in Amarillo, Texas. RCW in Chatsworth, Georgia. CPW in Tulsa, Oklahoma. UEW in Eastridge, Tennessee. TCW in Killeen, Texas. And the AIWF running Hillsville, Virginia tomorrow. So get out there your last couple of days of the year to see some pro wrestling. Get out there, support your indies as they wrap up 2016. And without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest today out of the great Pacific Northwest, Ian W. Sutton. Welcome to the program.
Well, how y'all doing out there, man? It's great to be here.
Well, we appreciate your time with us today, and since it is your first time on our program, we're going to give you the first-timer's question to start off the show. What got you into professional wrestling?
Shoot, man, I don't even know. I've been in pro wrestling since I was a baby, man. I used to watch it with my grandma and my grandpa all the time on the TV, you know, it was awesome. I'd watch all those dudes, you know. I'd see Roddy Piper. I'd see Buddy Rose. I'd see Colonel DeBears. I'd see, you know, Billy Jack. I'd see all those dudes, man, you know, because my grandparents lived up here in Oregon, so I'd come up here and visit them, you know. So that was awesome, go to old Portland Sports Arena, stuff like that. So, you know, it was just amazing. I don't even know. That's how long I've loved this business.
Since you got watching pro wrestling at that early age, was it something that you always knew you wanted to do as a profession? Had you always wanted to enter the ring yourself?
Oh, yeah, man, all the time. Like, shoot, I was probably a little kid and trying to be a wrestler my dang on self, but that was just dumb, you know. Like, if you're going to do something, get trained. That's all I got to say. You can find a good school all around here, you know. So just get yourself trained. That's all I got to say about that.
You have wrestled not only here in the Northwest, but you've been up and down the I-5 corridor. You've wrestled a lot for championship wrestling from Hollywood. As you hit the West Coast here, what's been the biggest crowd that you've had to wrestle in front of so far?
Jeez, in the whole dang time? Man, I don't even know, a lot. At one point, we had a good, I don't know, 1,000 people, I think, is probably it. Really, maybe more, a couple thousand, I don't know.
And when you're in front of thousands of people at a show, do you have to do anything differently when you're wrestling in front of that many people as opposed to a smaller show where it's a little bit more intimate setting?
No, man, I just be me. I just go out there and do my thing, you know, and If they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. But, you know, when you work hard and you're out there, people recognize that stuff, you know. So you get it. If they want to cheer for you, they're going to cheer for it. If they want to boo you, they're going to boo you. So it's just you go out there to entertain and work your butt off, and that's what you do, you know.
Now, around a year ago or so, maybe a little bit over that, you actually announced that you were stepping away from pro wrestling. You were taking some time off at that point. When you stepped away, obviously you needed the break, but what's been the mindset like the last few months after having taken the break?
I'll tell you right now. When I took that break, when I first took it, I was like heartbroken for what I was seeing in the business from where I was at. But when I got that offer to come to WCWC, man, I took it because I'll tell you right now, that place is amazing. The locker room's amazing. The people are amazing. The wrestling talent is amazing. And I was used to, like I said, I was used to the championship wrestling from Hollywood, the Future Stars of Wrestling in Las Vegas. I worked there a couple times, you know. And the talent that comes out of those places is just extraordinary. And they had a stronger work ethic, bigger ability, knew how to, you know, I love TV. That's another thing, too. I miss TV like crazy. So, you know, I just did that. They did have some great talent where I was at before, but, you know, it was just, I didn't feel it, you know. So I just wasn't feeling it anymore, and it just broke my heart. But I got my feeling back, and I'm feeling great now, you know.
Oh, everyone that's ever gotten into the ring knows that you're going to get the bumps and bruises and the occasional injury. When you took the time off, did you find your body healing up from the years of professional wrestling? Did you feel a little bit stronger when you came back?
Yeah, my back was giving me a little bit more trouble again because I hurt my back before, right before I went to championship wrestling from Hollywood, and rebuilt my back up real good and went back and did all that for the few years I was there. And then it started hurting again a little bit. And I was wondering why, you know, I just didn't understand it. And then took that few months off, back healed up fine, nice, good to go. Started wrestling for WC, ain't had a problem with it since. So, like I said, just make sure, you know, you keep working hard at what you do so you can keep the other person, you know, good to go.
What would you say is the worst injury that you've had to deal with in your career?
Whew. I'd say it was back in 2011. I was wrestling for EWF down in Los Angeles and for Jesse Hernandez, and I blew my back out. I blew my L4 and my L5 discs into my sciatic nerve. So that took a whole year of rehabilitation and stretches and a lot of other stuff to get that fixed, and all of a sudden it just feels good again. So it's working great.
Now at WCWC, like you referenced, they have a television product down in Oregon. They film 4 or 5 weeks of TV shows per taping, and it airs down in the Portland area. When you're doing a televised program versus shows that are only going to be seen by the live audience, is there a different mindset when you get in the ring as far as what you're going to do? Do you have to wrestle any differently as opposed to normal?
Well, you always got to talk to the fans, no matter if they're on TV or if they're there in person. So you always want to be personable with all of them. So being on TV, those cameras, those is fans. That's your fans looking at you. So I always make sure that I talk to the fans when I'm out there, no matter if they're sitting there or if they're watching on TV, because I love my fans. They're amazing, awesome freaking people, you know?
What's been the best memory that you've had with a fan? What really stands out as a really special moment between you and a fan that you've had so far?
There was this little kid. I think he's older now, of course, but I think he was like 6 years old at the time. And I was just getting my T-shirts done so, you know, people could buy them and stuff. And he comes up to me, and he made his own T-shirt. He made his own hat. He made his own wristbands. He made his own everything. I mean, this kid had Sutton family and Sutton stuff all over. His name's Jake. He lives down in Oxnard, California. I talk to his daddy every once in a while. Tell him to say hi to his son for me. Send him videos and stuff, you know. But that kid, that was my number one fan. I'll tell you that right now.
Now, in a lot of the places you've wrestled, I'm sure that you've had matches that are a bit on the comical side and had some funny moments happening. What's been the funniest match that you have ever had so far in your career?
I'm going to have to say me versus Matt Striker from WCWC, episode 115. And now, my son, don't let me forget it.
A lot of wrestlers are not really fans of doing comedy in pro wrestling. A lot of them are strictly kind of a serious, straight-ahead type of wrestling. You've done a lot of comedy in your career. Do you think that some wrestlers take the actual wrestling part a little bit too seriously? Do you think not enough guys like to incorporate the comedy in pro wrestling these days?
I think that every person has their thing, the thing that makes them who they are. If it's being comedy, then it's comedy. If it's being crazy, then it's being crazy. If it's being somebody needs to have an operation to get the stick out their butt, then that happens too. But I think that wrestling is all how you take it, what you feel when you do something. And I feel good doing what I do. It makes me happy. I get my fans, it makes my fans happy, you know, so I appreciate that.
In Oregon, there's guys that incorporate pretty much any style you would want. I'm sure you've encountered wrestlers all over the West Coast that incorporate different types of styles. Do you personally have a favorite style to wrestle against as far as style of wrestling that an opponent might use?
I like wrestling the old school wrestlers myself. The old school wrestling, that's what I started watching when I was a kid. So when I get to see that old school stuff and I get to do that with them, that just makes me happy just like I was a kid again, you know? So, and then, you know, doing some of the brawling. I love brawlers. I'll go out there, I'll brawl with the best of them. So I like that too.
And when you talk about old school wrestling and you talk about brawlers, would a possible dream match of yours be Tommy Wildfire Rich?
Ooh, Tommy Rich. I don't know about Tommy Rich. Maybe like Billy Jack when he was younger, you know? Right now, he's probably a little too old to do that anymore. But Billy Jack Haynes or shoot, man. I always wanted to wrestle like, what's his name down there? Shoot, I can't remember his dang old name now. It's the major stuff going on right now.
Now, one of the old school guys that's still around our area that I'm sure you see on a pretty regular basis at WCWC, the Grappler. What's it been like since the comeback, being in the company where the Grappler maintains a pretty large presence?
I will tell you right now, he is probably the most knowledgeable man, and he is the most knowledgeable man in the Pacific Northwest in wrestling. I will tell you that right now. I actually did not meet him. He was at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood down there for a little bit, and that's where I met him at. And he was giving me knowledge there. So when I came up here and saw him up here, there was just more knowledge that I could soak up from the man. And I mean, there's not enough room in my head to soak up all the knowledge that he has right now.
The Grappler was known as a tag team wrestler when he started out as the Grappler. He was in a pretty famous tag team. You've been in quite a few tags yourself over the years. Do you have a preference for tag team wrestling or for singles wrestling?
I like singles wrestling more. It's a little bit, it's different for me than it is for other people. I mean, I've been in tag team Sutton family, Sutton kinfolk right there. I love them. They're in my heart forever. I mean, if I had any of them back, it takes a lot of time to develop a partner. You know what I'm saying? So with them, I was there with them for years. So if I could go back and be a tag team with them, I got no problem with that. It's just trying to develop a tag team all over again. That's the hard part. You gotta fit, you know?
Now, when you look at the landscape of where you're wrestling at right now, do you see anyone on the roster that might be a potential future partner of yours?
Let me think. Right now. Eric Wright, he's a dang good wrestler, man. Eric Wright's a dang on good wrestler. Let's see, who else? Hammerstone, man, that's cool because I don't even have to do nothing. He's just a big dude, you know? let me think. I mean, there's just so many. There's so many talented people there. I can't even name them all, but.
I know at WCWC, there's a few wrestlers there that not only wrestle for other companies, but some of them also promote their own companies. Is promoting wrestling something that you had ever thought about for down the future?
Well, I mean, shoot, I always want to be in this business, and I figure if I get too old, I got to do something. But promoting, that's a lot of work, man. These promoters out here, especially the ones that's getting successful, that it's a lot of work for them, you know? I mean, it's more work than being a wrestler, I'll tell you that. So if that did come to be, I'd be a lot older, because I'm planning on leaving for a while. And I don't know, I just had to think about that, you know?
Obviously, you've worked for a lot of promoters. In the back of your mind, have you been compiling a list of things that seem to work and a list of things that seem to not work as far as promoting go? Or are you going to have to learn the art of promoting from the ground up if that day ever comes?
Well, promoting is just, how do I say this? That's what I'm saying. It's hard work because you can't read minds. You don't know what these people are thinking. You can't honestly understand what people want. You got to watch everything that's happening, and then they change. People change, so you got to figure out what they're thinking at all times. And I don't know. I'm just a redneck. You know, I can't think all that stuff that fast.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know that he has questions as well, so I'm going to put you in the capable hands of QT for a bit.
QT.
Well, thank you, Tanga. Hello, Ian.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Ian, we usually open up our second half of the show with our standard question. What's the hardest knife-edge chop you've received in WCWC?
That'd be against Gabriel Gallo. That's a definite.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. What's the hardest knife-edge chop you've received from a female wrestler?
Shelly Martinez.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Can you tell us the approximate date that you received this chop from her, and did it draw blood?
I can't remember the approximate date. It was in 2012 LAW, Los Angeles Wrestling League. It was Brian Kendrick's thing he was doing. It was a battle royal. And Shelly jumped in there and just started chopping me to death. And yes, it bled a little bit in spots. She hits hard.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, was that in the actual city limits of Los Angeles or maybe the outer limits of Los Angeles?
No, it was in pretty much like East LA.
Oh, okay.
I remember
East
that.
LA. Whoa, now East LA is a pretty rough area. Yes.
Yeah,
you have a high
high
influence of Mexican wrestlers there.
Oh yeah, I trained at the Santino Brothers Wrestling for a while with Joey Chaos and them, and they're amazing, talented people. I mean, that's how I learned my lucha style, and you know, working with them and Hoss, my brother Hoss Hogsutton, and he's from Santino Brothers. So you know, they're good dang wrestlers. I'll tell you that. I mean, you get down to LA, you go to the Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh wow! All right. About how many people during that time were attending that academy?
Shoot. Let's see. There was me. I was in there. There was a Serial Man. You see him on like Hood Slam. There was, let's see, Ryan Anderson, but he's not there. Anderson Cruz. He's no longer wrestling no more. Love that. Nice to see you, brother. Let's see who else. Dang, man. Ray Rosas, Che Cabrera, lots of the Southern California, like pretty much every Southern California people was just in the Santino Brothers, I'll tell you that, isn't it?
Now, are there any truth to the rumors that when you were wrestling in Los Angeles, that you offered to pay part of the airfare for Gregor Petrov and Coach Mike Jones to come down there, but they declined the offer? Any truth to those rumors?
No. No. Oh, okay. I never met the people.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I don't know.
How about you?
I heard of the Petrov dude before. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I've heard of him. I've never seen any of his stuff or anything, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. I guess it was just a vicious rumor then. Yes.
I guess.
How about Ethan
HD? Ethan HD. I have wrestled
that
man more times than I have wrestled anyone.
Now, were there any truth to the rumors that you called up Ethan HD and said, come on down, this East LA is very fantastic, and I've taken several trips to the Hollywood sign? Any truth to those rumors?
That's funny stuff, man. Ethan was already down there at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I was already wrestling down there, so I don't know what the heck that's about, but he's talented enough to get anywhere on his own.
Wow, okay, all right. And you're kind of built like Ethan HD also. I've noticed that, a very similar physique, yes.
I still got my beer gut, but that's the redneck
that's
part
true.
Of me I can't get rid of. But I'm a little taller, I guess, just a little bit though, you know.
Yes, I'd say Ethan HD is a little bit more like Ravishing Rick Rude than you are. Slightly. Very slightly. Yes. Okay. All right, well, Ian, I saw your YouTube video on your Facebook page where you had some things to say about Smokey Nuts. Actually, you cut several videos, but in the one that I saw in depth, you said that you were going to wrestle him at the Polk County Fairgrounds, and at the 46-second mark of this video, you said he dresses up like a weird Jabberwocky people. My question is, are we talking about Jabberwockies in Star Wars? Because I'm not sure if they were.
No, them Jabberwocky people with the dancing people. Them dancing people, man, you know, with the white masks on. That's all I was saying. I'm more into this Boogie Storm, you know, than the Jabberwockies. So, you know, I watch my YouTube videos.
Oh. Well, weren't there a group of lightsaber-carrying Jabberwockies in Star Wars?
Lightsaber and Jabberwockies?
Yes.
I don't know, man.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know.
Well, now, speaking of Star Wars, Northwest wrestling fans were shocked at the death of Carrie Fisher, who played the part of Princess Leia in Star Wars. My question is, had she undergone wrestling training with Buddy Rhodes back in the 1980s, how long do you think she could have lasted in the ring with Brie Bella?
Oh, shoot. With Brie Bella?
Yeah.
I still don't think very long because, man, Brian Danielson, he's an amazing freaking wrestler, and he taught his wife a lot of stuff. 80s style compared to the style now is a little bit different, so I think that Brie Bella would have kind of messed her up a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you ever been out to Hoquiam to visit Brian Danielson and his place out there in Hoquiam? Or is it it's Aberdeen? Aberdeen, yes.
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Ian, at the 103 mark of the video, you mentioned you had a tool shed and that if Smokey Nuts came over, you would hang him in the tool shed and beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, by his feet, you know, not like by his neck or nothing. I ain't violent like that, you know. I ain't crazy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, my question is, are you familiar with the legend of Ed Gein, the Wisconsin farmer who had a torture tool shed on his farm where he tortured people to death?
Yes, I am. That's where the Texas Chainsaw Massacre came from. And that is sick, nasty stuff. That's all I got to say about that.
Yes. Ed Gein, he would de-skin his victims' faces, put his skin on their face, and dance in the moonlight. Yes.
Yeah, that's nasty, man. That's nasty. I don't feel so good right now.
So there's no truth to the rumors you were planning on doing that to Smokey Nuts?
No, I ain't no freaking weirdo.
Oh, okay. All right, well, is it safe to say, though, that Silence of the Lambs was one of your favorite horror movies?
I've never seen it.
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
True. I ain't never seen it, man.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, in my next question was going to be, Ian, are there any truth to the rumors that Smokey Nuts claim that you and your lifestyle were the inspiration for Buffalo Bob in the movie Silence of the Lambs? It is now clear to me that I'm going to have to give you this Turnbuckle Turmoil homework assignment of looking up Silence of the Lambs.
Well, I've seen Joe Dirt, and I saw the Buffalo Bob from Joe Dirt, and I ain't like that, so that's for damn sure.
Okay, Joe Dirt, yes.
Yeah, Joe Dirt, man, that's like a classic right there. If you ain't seen Joe Dirt, you need a foot up in your anus, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. And did you know that the person that played Buffalo Bob in Joe Dirt went to my high school?
I did not know that. Congratulations.
Yes, his name is Brian Thompson.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and he also played the part of one of the punks in the Terminator first movie that got his heart ripped out when he was in that gondola type thing. Yes.
Ah, that's nasty.
Yes. I think he's one that says, "Nice day for a walk, eh?" Yes, and then Schwarzenegger rips his heart out. That was Brian Thompson. Yes.
Was he in, like, Talladega Nights? Anything?
He might have been, yes. I think so.
Cool.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Ian, have you ever wrestled the Northwest wrestler named Otis the Gimp? Because many Northwest wrestlers see a slight Buffalo Bob influence on Otis the Gimp.
I don't believe I have wrestled Otis the Gimp.
Oh, okay.
I think I don't know, man.
All right. Well, Ian, I also saw your video, another video leading up to the match with the Smoky Sack, where it appears you were on your front lawn drinking a beer. Can we ask what your top three beers of all time are, and is it safe to say that Coors Light is number one?
Coors Light is number one. Coors Original is number two. Hey, they got any special blend Coors or anything? And if they got anything else that's Coors, that's number three.
Wow, you're a huge Coors fan. Yes, I think they have a Coors Smoky Banquet. Yes, Smoky Banquet.
Ooh. Ooh, might have to try that Coors. Mm.
Yeah, I think Smoky Sack drinks Smoky Banquet beer.
Smoky Ball Sack Sweat. I don't know.
Oh, all right. Well, is it a dream of yours to one day get in the ring with Stone Cold Steve Austin and drink a beer?
Oh, that would be amazing. See, I probably, I don't even know what I'd do. I drink lots of beer with him, I'll tell you that.
Oh, okay. All right. What do you think about our president-elect that will be the first president in the United States history to survive a Stone Cold Stunner?
What do I think about Donald Trump? Let's see. I honestly just hope that he does something good for this country. There's no change in nothing. So as long as he does something good for this country and these people, you know, because I was in the military. I was airborne and all that stuff. And so Dan, my brothers is out there still, some of them. You know, as long as he's taking care of the veterans out here like myself, taking care of the troops that are still out there right now, taking care of these people that, you know, honestly need, you know, a little bit of help, then I'd be happy with that, you know?
Wow. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners where you underwent boot camp?
I did basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia. And I was stationed in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Fort Bragg, for a couple of years. So.
Oh, very nice. And how many years did you put in?
Oh, 3 years.
Oh, very good. Okay. Well, thank you for your service. Yes. Okay. Well, Ian, I also saw your YouTube video entitled The Suttons versus Muscle Cats, where you went up against two English wrestlers, one by the name of Saxon Hunter and one by
Saxon
the name
Huxley.
Huxley, okay. Yeah. And one by the name of Robbie Churchill.
Rob Churchill.
Both Saxon and Robbie were blue bloods in England, meaning they were a step above the commoner working class in the city, Brighton by the Sea. This meant their well-connected financial parents sent them to the finest boarding schools, where they learned to be gentlemen, and they also had the finest refined and dignified wrestling schools. In fact, they learned the art of wrestling in much the same way as Blue Blood Hunter Hearst Helmsley did in the finest boarding schools of New England. Were you aware of this upper class instruction they received in wrestling?
Actually, I did, because I've known them for years now, and still, you know, try to keep track of them too. But they weren't even that long in the wrestling when I wrestled them in that video, and that's how much talent they can just soak up into their brains. I mean, they was training with Brian Kendrick, and they was doing a lot of stuff. Those two, they're gonna go somewhere. I'll tell you that right now. They got talent, ability. As long as their blue blood cockiness don't come out, then you know they'll be all right.
Yeah, and they had some pretty good size to them and pretty good speed for their athletic size. Yes.
Yeah, they're quick. And they get you real fast. And that one dude, man, he's big. I think it's which one am I talking about? That's the big one.
I think that was
the big one.
Churchill.
Yeah, Churchill. He's a big dude. And he hits hard. And whoever gets in the dang on ring with him, they feel it every dang on time he throws on you. I tell you that right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Now, Ian, the boarding schools that teach wrestling in both England and New England in the United States has the equivalent in Oregon of the martial arts dojo. My question is, have you seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite? And could you yourself survive the brutal training that Napoleon and Kip underwent on their first day at the Rex Kwan Dojo.
Oh, yeah. I'm tougher than freaking nails, man. I got anything anybody puts at me, I'm going to take it. So bring it on. That's all I got to say about that.
Oh, okay. But you'd have no problem bowing to your sensei. That's what I'm asking.
Oh, heck no. I know how to bow to a sensei. Boom. Just like that. I just did it right now. Nobody can see it, but I did it. Just saying.
What? Oh, all right. Okay. Well, in your opinion, could you pin Kip's girlfriend, LaFonda, if you wrestled her in a steel cage match?
Yeah. I ain't going to say no. It made me look like a wussy.
Oh, all right. Okay. Now, after the steel cage match, would you take her out for prime rib, just like Kip did?
I mean, sure, why not? Ladies need to be treated like ladies, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure. Okay. All right. Well, Ian, I was wondering what the entrance music was when you went up against the Muscle Cats. Was it either Wabash Cannonball by Bill Monroe or the Sexy School Moms of Amarillo, a girl band?
Well, it wasn't a girl band. And I thought it was just some banjos playing.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say it was probably Wabash Cannonball by Bill Monroe. Yes.
That could be it right there, yeah, because it wasn't a thick one, I can tell you that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the debut of my sister Kylie right there.
I saw that, yes, and she had a very nice blue-type bandana. Yes. I know, like
she wears
bandana.
That girly stuff. She's awesome, though. I miss her a lot. I ain't seen her for a while.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Well, Ian, are you familiar with blue-collar wrestling regular Pa Moonshine with his boys J.B. Moonshine and J.D. Moonshine, who immigrated to Oregon from the hills of Appalachia?
I am not.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you'll have to go on Facebook and look up Pa Moonshine.
Okay.
Very good matches on YouTube with Pa Moonshine. And speaking of which, Pa Moonshine, we hope you get better from your recent hospital stay from QT Vokes. Yes. Okay. Well, Ian, you mentioned to Sangai how you ruptured two of your discs and had problems with your sciatic nerve. Can you take us through a typical day of rehabilitation that you would have to undergone to rehabilitate those two ruptured discs? And did you receive a cortisone shot into these ruptured discs?
I did get the shot. I only did it once. It was when it first happened because it was just hurting like, you know, just pain. That's all I got to say, pain, lots of pain. But it took me about, 6 months of chiropractor every four days a week until I could start, you know, going through the physical therapy part, which was done by my buddy Scorpio Sky. Thank you very much for doing that for me. But without him, I wouldn't have been able to come back to wrestling. So he helped me out, stretched my, you know, helped me work out my back and everything. And it took about 6 months before I could come back to the TV show and stuff down there. So
yes. Now, I believe Ravishing Rick Rude, his last match he ever wrestled was against Sting. And there was a move where Sting flipped him onto a mat at ringside. It might have been a table or a mat, but his lower back whipsaws, and right there he ruptured some of the disc in his back. But he continued wrestling. It was very vicious impact that only Sting could deliver. So I think a back injury also derailed a Ravishing Rick Rude's career. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, now do you do a yoga type stretching workout every day to keep your lower back muscles supple and in shape? That's a question. Yes.
I honestly do yoga. I don't do it as often as I used to, which I should be doing it again. But DDP yoga, I got that for Christmas about 3 or 4 years ago. And that I do my stretches and stuff like that, and it always works out. And, you know, my back feels like amazing, like I said. So I do owe it to that, but I should be doing my yoga a little bit more, you know, because them stretches, they just help align you. They help get you feeling good, you know, stuff like that. So I suggest any wrestler out there, you know, try DDP yoga if you ain't seen it. Try it. It's good stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your high school background in athletics were?
Shoot, I played baseball a lot. I played football. See what else. I wrestled for a year. It wasn't pro wrestling, so I didn't really like it much. You know what I'm saying? Let's see what else I did. Ran track. Funny thing, high school was funny for me. There's all these sports and stuff, and so my mom's like, you need to try this. So I'm like, I'm not trying that. So she's like, no, you need to try this. I'm like, what is it? She's like, it's like swimming. So I go out for one day and for the water polo. Last damn time I ever want to go in a swimming pool with freaking weird stuff on. No, I ain't wearing – I'll wear a Speedo and rest of people. I ain't swimming with no Speedo. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. All right, no Speedo. Okay. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who your top three favorite Major League Baseball pitchers of all time were, and would one of them be Randy Johnson?
Yes, one of them is Randy Johnson. Nolan Ryan, of course. That was my number one of all time. But Clayton Kershaw, number one right now. Clayton Kershaw, how y'all doing? Have you, man, hit me up on the Twitter, Clayton Kershaw, if I'm talking. I'm just saying hi, bro. Love you.
Wow, okay. Now, is
Dodgers fan right here.
Oh, okay. All right. Is one of your main reasons that you like Randy Johnson is because he once fired a fastball and he hit a seagull in flight and there was an explosion of feathers?
That was a cool one, but the main reason I like Randy Johnson is because he throws fast and he's got a mullet. So, I mean, you know, any guy that's got a mullet and still throws fast is awesome.
Oh, okay. Do you have any rookie cards of Randy Johnson? Because I recently came into possession of one. Yes.
I do not. That'd be awesome.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Can we ask who your favorite, three top favorite outfielders of all time were?
Kemp from the Dodgers, but he's not there no more. See, Matt Kemp, Ken Griffey. I mean, I guess so. I really wasn't a Ken Griffey fan because, you know, the West Coast teams, I always picked the Dodgers, so.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I was more into the pitchers myself.
Oh, okay. Pitchers, okay.
Pitcher
Marquez. How about Daffy Dean?
What was that?
How about the pitcher Daffy Dean?
I don't know, man. I don't think I ever heard of that.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, Ian, we play a game here on Turnbuckle Turmoil called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk, and you are given a choice between two subject matters, and you have to make a decision between the two subject matters in rapid succession.
All right.
Succession. Yes. Are you ready to play this game?
Sure.
Oh, okay. First one, Big Mac or Quarter Pounder?
Ooh, Big Mac.
Ric Flair or Bruiser Brody?
Ric Flair.
Sin Bodhi or Dr. Cleaver?
Sin Bodhi.
The Dukes of Hazzard or the A-Team?
Ooh, Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay. Daisy Duke or Patty Duke?
Daisy Duke. Woo! Fired up.
All right. Daisy Duke or Gidget?
Daisy Duke. Sorry about your dang life.
You know who I'm talking about when I mention Gidget, don't you?
I do, but Daisy Duke, man, number one, all time, right there.
Oh, okay.
Fired up.
All right. Roddy Piper or Ric Flair?
Roddy Piper.
Mark Henry or King Kong Bundy?
Ooh, Mark Henry.
Okay. And the last one, Tony Stetson or Eric Wright?
Eric Wright.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's been very good talking with you. I hope you get a chance to go on Facebook and look up Paw Moonshine and maybe even see some of the videos, wrestling videos, of Paw Moonshine and his two sons, J.B. Moonshine and J.D. Moonshine.
All right. If I get a chance, I'm a working, hard-working man.
Oh, okay. And I do hope that one day you can share a drink with Paw Moonshine with that jug that he brings to the ring.
That ain't nothing compared to the Sutton Family Fire Shine, man. I'll just say that right now.
Oh, okay. All right, back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Ian, one of the things that has become more important in professional wrestling in the last 10 to 15 years than it has in years past is the art of the interview. A lot of wrestlers don't have the ability to be paired up with a manager because that aspect of the business has been phased down quite a bit the last 15 years. So more than ever, wrestlers are having to rely on their self to do an interview. Where do you see the art of the interview right now as far as how important it is to pro wrestling? And do you think a lot of the wrestlers today on the independents are able to do a good interview?
It takes work. Everything takes work in life. And, with me, myself, I took a lot of work, you know. I worked on it every dang on day, man. People looking at me funny, too, you know. But you work on it. You get your craft. You get it down straight. And then it just comes to you, you know. But if you don't practice and you don't worry about that, that's one of the main things in wrestling, you know. Get your interviews down. Get that stuff down. Work your butt off, you know. It'll happen.
Now, another little respected aspect of pro wrestling, something that's a very important job that maybe doesn't get the attention from the promoters and definitely not from the fans, is the art of the ring announcer. They're a very important aspect. They're the face of the company as far as what the fans see. Who are some of the better ring announcers out there right now that you think that promoters should pay more attention to when needing a ring announcer for their show?
Shoot, man, in all honesty, I don't even know, man. I know that there's a few of them. There's a couple of them I really like. But let me think. What's that dude's dang on name? I ain't seen him in years. He was the announcer for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And he was dang on good, man. I can't remember his dang on name because I ain't talked to him in forever. I should. Yeah, that dude was awesome. And I don't know. I think that takes work, too. But that's the only dude that I know of that actually made me go, dang, that guy's got something with that stuff. I can't remember his dang on name.
You mentioned earlier how you had a fan that made his own T-shirts and wristbands for Ian Sutton. Merchandising is something that not a lot of people up in this area really focus on. But is there Ian Sutton merchandise that fans can go to a show and pick up?
There will be. I'm working on that right now. There will be real soon. I have some T-shirts and hats coming, some trucker hats, you know, because that's how I roll, and stuff like that. It'll be coming real soon. Just stick with it. It'll happen.
On shows you've been on in your career, what's the strangest thing that you've seen a wrestler trying to sell at a gimmick table?
Shoot, a lot of stuff. Strangest thing. Let's see, Joey Ryan was selling blow pops. That was funny. But they went over, and he was selling them for way more than you can get them at the store. I was like, jeez, what the heck was that? Somebody yelling. Anyway, so, yeah, there was the blow pops. That was pretty funny. Somebody was selling, like, they had Pokemon action figures made of themselves. It was like a Pokemon version. I thought that was really weird. Let's see. Thongs. Some chick was selling thongs. That was just disgusting. I was hoping they wasn't used because it was nasty, unsanitary. That was a weird one, too.
Weird, but I bet it was a successful item at the gimmick table.
It went over pretty well.
Now, you've been in wrestling for quite some time, and I know you've held some championships in your day. Could you run down the list of the titles that you've been able to win thus far in your career?
I actually haven't had a champion belt for a very long time, so I don't even know right now, man. Had a long time. I had a lot of them in my, when I first started, and then, you know, I just didn't. Just been working.
Makes it easier when you travel, though. Now, another part of wrestling that we haven't really talked about that is also an important part of wrestling is the role of the referee. A good referee can help a bad match out a little bit, and a bad referee can make a good match not so good. You've been in there with a lot of different referees in your career. Who do you think are some of the better ones out there?
Sparky Ballard, in Northern California, referee. He's amazing. See, Jay Stone, he was really good. He helped me out a lot. Shoot, man. Smiling Dave, WCWC. What's up, buddy? He's my dancing partner. It's fun. Let's see what else. There's just a bunch of referees. It's amazing. They do a great job, and they work hard, too. It just takes them, you know. We can't do anything without them neither, so.
Well, we got a few minutes left on the show, so I want to give ample time to you. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything that you would like, the floor is all yours.
Well, I'm just going to say hi, y'all, to all y'all fans listening out there. If y'all want to see more Ian Sutton, you can check me out on the YouTube. Just search Ian Sutton Wrestling. I'll show right up on there. You can come to a WCWC show here in Portland. Check me out there. It's awesome. It's fun times, good people, and they got food there too, so it's yummy. Let's see what else. Anybody listening from around the country want to book Ian Sutton, find me on my Facebook page. Search Ian W. Sutton, you'll find me. I'm on the Twitter, but I don't know. I just started this thing up, and it's like Ian_W_Sutton. And then, I don't know. There's a lot of underscores to that at the Twitter. And y'all just hit me up, man. I'm ready to do more stuff, get more out there, too. So just let me know what's going on. And I want to say hi to my Sutton kinfolk out there, all y'all. Love y'all. Miss y'all much. But, yeah, man, any of you fans out there, you hit me up on the Facebook, you know, say hi, something like that. I'll see how y'all doing. But it's been great talking to y'all. I love the show. Great things happen. And that's about it.
Well, Ian Sutton, it's been an absolute pleasure having you with us today. I thank you very much for taking time to be with us, and best of luck to you as we go into 2017.
Yep. Year of the Sutton. That's all I'm saying. Boom.
All right, fans, if you get the chance to see Ian Sutton, be it on your television screen or live and in person, I suggest you take advantage. Great, great talent, very entertaining, and we will be back with you Sunday afternoon, we're going to be speaking with Flex Walker that day, so it should be great, and we'll talk to you in 2017, fans.